Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON.
Yeah. I want a baller like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, shooting shots for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring. I wanna ball out like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, shooting shots for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring.
29 free throws to 6. It's hard to overcome. Thought we played hard. I thought we attacked. Normally we shoot more than 31 free throw or 31 threes. Thought we did a good job of attacking, but you know, we just gotta keep playing. We gotta keep playing and believe in what we do. We play hard, and you know, we're gonna get the respect that we deserve.
What was the issue?
I don't know. They every time I've complained, they said they had the call right. So it's. We're messed up.
Hey guys, welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Troy Halliburton, and join with me in a very small room inside Capital One Arena. We're watching on a TV screen, the backyard band is getting ready to perform, but my guy from Truth About It, Mr. Rashad Mobley. How you doing today, Rashad?
I'm good. Welcome to solitary confinement, bro.
it feels like we're in an episode of Oz, and we just struck a prison guard, and now we're in the hole.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean this definitely if not a prison of real life, a prison of the mind, because I must have been crazy thinking this Wizards team was going to come into this season and actually win some basketball games, because they just lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers 113-100, and you know this is a game that. You know, literally, the Cavaliers led from beginning to end. Wizards never led in this game. So, what were your impressions of why the Wizards were, you know, struggling to start the game against, you know, conceivably one of the worst teams in the NBA?
You know, not to bring up Michael Jordan all the time, but one of the things about Michael Jordan I used to enjoy is he would look at the other team, size them up, and say, "Okay, this is a game that I'm going to take over. I'm going to give my teammates the night off. We're going to win this game because we're playing an inferior team." Bradley Beal at some point should have taken over this game. He was the best player on the floor. All due respect to Kevin Love, he should have come out right away. He said his team was not playing defense after the game. He mentioned that. He mentioned the energy was low. He should have just come out and played hard and put up a big number to help his team kind of get motivated and rally around him. He didn't do that. He had turnovers in the first quarter. Troy Brown had turnovers, and just from the very beginning, they just were sloppy. So I don't blame Bradley Beal, but you're the best player on the floor. You're getting a max contract. You consider yourself an all-star. You have been an all-star. This is just the kind of game where you come out and take over. He didn't do that. In fact, Marty Aronoff, longtime statistician I sat next to during the press conference, looked up the stat sheet. He was like, "Beal was a facilitator tonight. He wasn't a scorer." And that's exactly right. So, again, I'm not blaming him, but you needed a boost somewhere because clearly your team didn't have it, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Beal was definitely a facilitator tonight. And I think that, you know, this has to go back to the fact that, you know, 3 games ago, Scott Brooks inserted Isaiah Thomas into the starting lineup. And essentially, you know, they're playing without a point guard because, you know, while Isaiah Thomas, you know, plays the point guard position, he's 5'9", and he can't play any other position, but he's not really a true point guard. Like, he's a scoring guard, you know, and I think that his role is much more suitable to be the scoring punch coming off the bench and allowing Ish Smith to kind of be the point guard and allow him to push the ball and get the team into their offense a little bit earlier. But even with Beal facilitating and getting others involved, you know, as you said, he's the best player on the court. And, you know, when he's matched up against Darius Garland, a rookie, and Colin Sexton, a second-year player, I mean, he's got to come out here and outplay these guards. And he really just – he wasn't aggressive enough on the offensive end. And then I would say that even when he was aggressive, his open shots just haven't been falling. And that's not just tonight. That's really pretty much been the entire season. So, it's fair to say that Beal has been a disappointment so far this season. Well, why do you think he's struggling so much to get into a rhythm, scoring the ball?
There's no point guard. You alluded – we talked about when we saw Troy Brown was in the starting lineup, a good point guard would get Troy Brown going very early. A good point guard would also set Beal up. When Wall is on the floor, I know he won't be coming back for a while, Wall is patient enough to let Beal run through screens, come around screens, and get the ball and shoot in his natural rhythm. He doesn't have to do a lot of dribbling. He doesn't have to do a lot of dancing around. He just gets to where he wants. Yes, Beal has improved with his ball handling and getting his own shot off the dribble, but sometimes a player like him just needs that point guard to find him, just like a quarterback can find a receiver. He's not getting that.
Yeah.
And it's just it's frustrating. He's doing too much. He didn't shoot well, but he took two free throws.
Yeah.
And that's something that Brooks brought after the game about the refs not calling him. But to be fair, Beal wasn't going to the basket.
Yeah.
He wasn't taking it strong. He wasn't drawing fouls to get himself going. There just was a lot of passive play. And so, true, there's no point guard, but also, you know, Beal has to kind of – he talked about after the game, he said, even if you're not doing well on offense, you still have to play defense to get yourself going. Even when your shot is not going, you get to the line. Kevin Love did it.
Mm-hmm.
He shot 10 for 13, and I would have expected Beal to do that. It seems like we're blaming Beal here, and it's not – we're not doing it, but he's the man.
Exactly. I mean, how does the saying go with great responsibility? I don't even know the saying, but I just butchered that. So
totally.
Yeah.
Just say heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's why we're sitting up here and we're putting a little bit of the responsibility and culpability on Bradley Beal. But let's talk about the fact that Scott Brooks did make a lineup decision, a change to the starting lineup, where Isak Bonga has started the first seven games of the season. And, I thought that he had played formidable for a 19-year-old player. Well, actually, he actually turned 20 today. It's his birthday, and happy birthday to him. He was benched out of the starting lineup and out of the rotation in general. He didn't log a single minute tonight. So, but I thought that it was the right decision to insert Troy Brown into the starting lineup. And Troy Brown rewarded Scott Brooks by playing his worst game as a professional basketball player. He shot 1 for 8 from the field. He had two very egregious early turnovers. Like, I think it must have been the second possession of the game.
Right.
He threw what should have been a very standard entry pass into the post, and he just threw it out of bounds. Like, and that's very abnormal for Troy as a player, because he's shown the adeptness of being, you know, a decent passer so far in his career. But I don't know whether the lights got to him, but you know, he actually started some games at the end of last season. But I mean, he literally, I think, might have played his worst game as a professional. And so why do you think he struggled so mightily after being inserted into the starting lineup?
You know, I can't put my finger on it. He looked like a player who he was rushing everything. A couple of those turnovers, he got caught in the air where he didn't know what to do with the ball. And again, it's just, to me, it's a point guard's job to get a player like that going. I mean, yes, you have to run the sets that the coach is asking you, but the point guard has to get him going, because he's not – Scott Brooks even complimented him after the game. He's a hard worker. He's not a player who does things out of character. But tonight, he just was not – he was not on. And I got the feeling – Scott Brooks mentioned that his starting position is not set in stone. I got the feeling that we're not going to see Troy Brown in the starting lineup for the next game. And I think for right now, he's a player that's more comfortable coming off the bench, playing with the bench players and kind of getting back in the rhythm. I don't think he's there quite yet.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I don't think that Scott Brooks is going to bench Troy Brown. I think that Troy Brown is going to be the starter for at least a couple more games. I think that, I mean, one thing that, you know, that Scott Brooks has shown us over his tenure as a Wizard coach is the fact that, you know, he's very rigid when it comes to, his lineup decisions. So when he makes a decision, he doesn't, like, just go back and forth with his decisions. Like, you know, if Troy Brown's in the starting lineup, I foresee him giving him, you know, at least a couple of games before, you know, he concedes that maybe that experiment didn't work. But let's actually talk about Scott Brooks, because there's something that you mentioned, you know, in the press conference, you know, almost unprompted, he started talking about the foul discrepancy. And, you know, to his credit, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they shot, was this 29 free throw attempts to the Wizards, just 6 free throw attempts? I mean, that's a pretty egregious discrepancy. And I think that the Wizards only made 3 free throw attempts, which tied a franchise low of free throw makes in a game. And so, that's a large discrepancy. And I feel like there were a few calls that, you know, were very questionable, to say the least, on the Cleveland Cavaliers part. And I think that one call in particular that I definitely was not a fan of was the in the fourth quarter. I believe that the team had gotten the lead to within 4, and Jordan McRae had a big play where he drove to the basket and he thought what he thought was going to be an and one, but the referees call an offensive foul. So instead of him getting, it was a 4-point game, instead of him getting an and one right there, cutting the lead to 1, it's an offensive foul going the other way. Cleveland comes down, he hit a 3. Now it's a 7-point game, and then, you know, it's a margin that, you know, the Wizards are, you know, pretty much playing catch up behind for the rest of the game. So what did you think from an objective perspective about how the referees called tonight's game?
I mean, I felt like it was low-hanging fruit. I mean, let's think about it. Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson shot 19 of the 25 free throws that the Cavaliers shot. Kevin Love was pump-faking all night, getting the Wizards to bite on fakes and going to the line. And Tristan Thompson does what he does. He's a beast around the rim. He gets the ball. He puts it right back up. They're always going to draw fouls. So that, I think that kind of skewed the numbers. Who for the Wizards was under the boards kind of doing work like that? Nobody. Thomas Bryant really wasn't pounding down low like he would in other games. Hashimura, he kind of was in and out, but he, as well as he played, he really wasn't drawing fouls. So I don't think that's it. To me, if I'm trying to assess why the Wizards lost, it was the turnovers, it was the poor shooting, and the lack of defense. That's what had you down early. Before free throws were even in question, you were down 10 points.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's a big disparity, but we just talked about their best player was not aggressive in going to the rim. I mean, at no point did we see Bill put his head down, get to the rim, and draw a foul. We didn't see that. The two best players on the Cavaliers did that and got to the line. I mean, that makes the difference. There were some calls that were missed here and there, but that does not account for the 25 free throw disparity between the two. So, I disagree. I wouldn't have led with that if I was Scott Brooks, because it was certainly the first thing that Bradley Beal mentioned was not the fouls. He mentioned the lack of defensive effort. And when Candace Buckner asked him about the 20-point deficit in the last 3 games, he said defense. So that's it. I wouldn't have led with the free throws. But, again, if you're a coach, you have a young team, you're trying to pump them up, you're not going to come out and say you lost because of defense. You're going to kind of give them a bone. But I disagree with the assessment.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's talk about the defensive effort that we've gotten from the Wizards so far this season. You know, they brought in Michael Longobardi from the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was actually the defensive coordinator for, you know, their 2016 championship run. And, you know, he was brought in. He's known as a defensive coach. And, you know, he spends a lot of time. I just posted a video earlier this week of, you know, Longobardi working with Rui and Bonga and, you know, some of the other young players and Mo Wagner and, like, going over the defensive scheme with them. So it's not from a lack of scheme or a lack of know-how. I mean, they're just getting kind of worked right now on the defensive end. Why do you think the team has struggled so much defensively, or is this just who this team is, and are they just not going to be able to stop anybody all season?
They're a young team, and young teams typically aren't defensively inclined. It'd be different if we had a new coordinator who was working with the Clippers. Look at the Clippers personnel. They have people there who can already play defense, who are veterans. They know how to do it. This is a young team, and again, I have to go back to point guard, but we have a point guard on the floor, Isaiah Thomas, who's not defensively inclined. He routinely got toasted and got beat off the dribble, and that's just not his game. Ish Smith is a little better at staying in front of his man, but they don't have the personnel to be a good defensive team.
Yeah.
Not right now, and it's going to take some time. And again, that goes back to my earlier point. You have Troy Brown in the starting lineup. He's young. You have Hashimura, who played well. Now, I guess we can get to that. He played excellent. But if your team is not strong defensively and you are the best player on the team in Bill, you have to make that assessment. We're not there defensively yet. We're not there in a lot of different ways. I have to take over. And I just feel like that's that's one of those things as the leader of the team that you have to assess very quickly, like when you're down 12-2, and kind of adjust your game, because it doesn't matter who they bring in. Any team led by Isaiah Thomas at point guard and Bryant, Hashimura, and Brown, who are all under the age of 25, it's just, your defense isn't going to be there just yet. It's going to take some time. It's going to take being down 20 and losing by 13 to get to that point. So I don't blame anybody. I don't blame anything except youth and lack of experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm right there with you on the youth and the lack of experience. You know, this is just kind of what the new norm is for the Wizards. And so I think it's something that we should very much get used to. But I think the biggest thing is, I mean, at some point we have to start seeing some incremental growth from the team from a defensive standpoint. And right now I can't say that we're watching a team that is getting better on a game to game basis. In fact, I think they're getting worse on a game to game basis as far as as far as a lot of different areas, you know, as far as the defensively, as far as their shot making, as far as their rebounding, you know, they're struggling right now. And so
home.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, this is essentially we're getting to the point where, you know, this is the writing's on the wall. This is going to be a long year. But we've spent a lot of time talking about the negatives of what happened in the loss to the Cavaliers. But let's talk about some of the positive takeaways that we can have from this game. And then we have to look at the starting center and starting power forward for the Wizards, Thomas Bryant and Rui Hachimura. Bryant had 23 points with 8 rebounds. He looked pretty good tonight. He shot 11 for 16 from the field. He actually looked good on a couple of his mid-range jumpers. He did a decent job defensively on Tristan Thompson, even though Tristan kind of worked them on those offensive rebounds. 9 offensive rebounds for Tristan. That's something that Thomas Bryant's definitely going to have to clean up. But Rui Hachimura, he looked amazing to come out after not scoring in the game against the Indiana Pacers. I think it's very impressive for a young player to come out and you know, just get back on the horse after literally, you know, playing the worst game of his young career. What were your thoughts about the play of young Rui Hachimura and Thomas Bryant?
That aggressiveness that we spoke of that Beal didn't have, Hachimura had it
yeah.
In the beginning. He took the mid-range shot. He didn't force anything. He got to the basket. He got his shot blocked a couple times, but he wasn't discouraged. I was very impressed with him. And as Scott Brooks said and as Candace Buckner tweeted, it said a lot about a young player who shakes off a bad scoring outing and comes back out and scores 21 points against the front line of Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. That's nothing to sneeze at. So I was very impressed. His mid-range game is impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive. There was a move where he took a couple dribbles, fake left, fake right, pulled up, took a jumper.
Yeah.
You don't see that very often from a man his size. So I'm very impressed. And Thomas Bryant, with the exception of the technical, that was kind of stupid. He continues to play with a lot of enthusiasm, especially in the second half when they close the gap a little bit.
Yeah, man. I think when we look at Rui's offensive game, I mean, he's very polished at getting to his shot in that mid-range. I mean, he's comfortable too. Right. So, like, he knows that, you know, he could hit a player with a, you know, in-and-out dribble, crossover, and he knows that, and that ball is going up if he just gets a little bit of space. And, you know, in the mid-range, like, his jumper looks – like it looks really good. It kind of reminds me a lot of Otto Porter, the Georgetown Otto Porter, where he was kind of like that mid range assassin. But I mean, Rui Hachimura is much more aggressive than Otto Porter ever was in a Wizard uniform.
And he's not scared to go down to the post and bang.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, he had a couple. He actually banged on a couple of people today. So you know, I'm very impressed. I continue to be impressed with Rui Hachimura, and I think that, you know, the Wizards definitely made the correct pick with that number 9 pick.
Yeah.
You know, it's still early, but I think that I feel very confident that we'll look back in the future and say that the Wizards absolutely made the right pick by picking him with the number 9 overall pick.
Hey, you could argue he's the second best player on this team right now.
I don't think that's an argument.
Right.
I think that's a fact.
Right.
A statement of fact at this point.
Thomas Bryant may give you some pushback, but I think it's Hashimura.
Hashimura is definitely the second he's the second best player, and shoot, he might be the most important player from a marketing standpoint. I mean, because the guy has a straight following of people that literally walk around everywhere he goes. So,
right.
You know, the guy can't even talk in the locker room. Like, I talked to my guy DeAndre Phillips, the head of PR down here, and he told me that Rui's actually contractually obligated to speak in front of that Wizards NEC backdrop because of the deal that the team made with NEC as far as the international dollars are coming in.
Okay.
So this just lets you know what Rui's standing in the organization is. You know, pretty soon he's going to have his own team security detail, like John Wall and Flav. So, I mean Rui's got the franchise on the tip of his fingers right now. So,
but to his credit, whether on the court, off the court, he has the same look on his face.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's always calm, placid, doesn't get too flustered, so he's handling it well.
All right. So now the Wizards, they have a couple of days off. They don't play again until Wednesday. What are some of the things, if you were Scott Brooks, that you would be kind of driving home to this team over the next couple of days?
Defense. Defense. That's the number one thing I would do. Defense. I would focus on running some sets in the first half. I mean, early in the game to get Bill untracked. I would take him off the ball, just work on getting him the ball, in position to shoot, and work on defense. That's it. And defense, it won't necessarily show up in the next game that they play, but it has to be better. Because that's just really all they need to work on. Everything else will come. As Scott Brooks and Beal said, they'll shoot better eventually. Some of the shots will fall. Bertans will heat up again, and Troy Brown will heat up. But defense has to be in play. And Beal, who, to your point, you've been saying all year, isn't quite where he needs to be offensively. He needs to get there. Whatever he needs to do, he needs to go to coach, do something to help him get untracked, get to the line or something, because he's not playing at the level that we're used to seeing, especially not the level he was playing at towards the end of last year. So those are things that we'll work on and just – try again, because this is not acceptable no matter what's going on. You don't lose by 13 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, I know the Wizards are young, but you're at home. You got to win.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's even more so than winning. Like, you got to play a respectable game. You got to be in the game,
right,
in order to win the game. So, you know, I'm with you on focusing on defense. You know, they should probably have a practice tomorrow where they don't even bring the ball, man. Just everybody get down to the defensive slide and let's just get to work, man, because this is – something's got
to
give.
And I'm surprised. I was expecting there to be practice tomorrow, but I heard Scott Hall saying no practice tomorrow. So.
Yeah, well, they have a big event coming up on Monday for Veterans Day, so they're going to be bringing veterans down there, and they have a big open practice event. I'll be there, and so they're focusing on their community outreach aspect. But you know, I mean, they don't play again until Wednesday, so you know, it trust me, I'm sure that there'll be some hard practice days between now and then. But hey, Rashad, man, I appreciate you for taking the time to come on. I'm going to go out here and try to check out this backyard band concert. But as always, on the podcast, I want to give you ample time to kind of promote yourself and your work and let the people know where they can find you.
You can find me on the Twitter, at Rashad20. You can find me on Truth About It. Later on this week, you can also find me on Wizards Extra. I'm going to be writing for them. And that's it. I will not be going to the Go-Go concert. I'm old. I'm going home to go to sleep.
That's what's up. All right, man. Well, you go home, get some rest, man. You'll sleepwalk your way through this, like how the Wizards sleepwalk their way through this loss to the Cavaliers.
There you go.
All right, man. But we'll catch up with you guys later on in the week.
Shot for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. kitchen game like a ding. Cold so these girls to a rake.
I've been plotting since I was a fetus. Young PG legend like Gilbert Arenas. Now I'm chilling back, giving advice. I buy my girl shit, it don't matter the price. They see that I'm taking, they try getting pants. Label money, I just tell in advance. I ain't cheating, I'm just trying to dance. She just trying to have me up in the trance. I'm in a struggle like fucking. They just trying to make some buckets. Love when I slapped on my ones, but it bounced like a ball when I struck it. So if you ever see a real nigga like me, just let them live and just be how it be. Go to the club with them two and you'll see. With a J, we be on the same team.
I wanna baller like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blowing on the net, girl showing shots for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring. I wanna baller like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, she was shot for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring.